Okay. All right. So I look at the call and the feedback. I have a few things, sort of highlight a few things. We can talk a lot more about the feedback one after another, I think. Just to make sure that 9:15 is the deadline. So September.
Yeah. September.
So yeah, we got it. Month. And since we're asking for medium as a medium project, so we have a half a million to 1.2 million for 4 years. And we could ask, I don't know what we could add. I was thinking about something like, you know, what you had for Pecker or something like that at that scale, about 750?
Yeah, 750 to 800. Yeah, 750 sounds like a reasonable project.
Right.
Yeah. So probably.
We don't want to ask too much because, I mean, although the panelists are told not to look at the budget, then
they will get jealous.
You know, I mean, it's not just that they look at the budget, but also they bring up the budget during the panel discussion, right? And the program officer has to tell them multiple times that, well, don't worry about the budget as for the time being. But then they keep bringing that up over and over again.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, okay. So any case, so that's the sort of like target amount.
Mm-hmm. So is it for 4 years?
For 4 years.
Could be 4 years.
So the total budget would be more than...
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, it could be 800. I think if you go for 800, it's still okay.
Yeah, I think for three of us, each one around 250, I think that's a reasonable number.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To remind you, only two for the core program. So if you're submitting, I warn you.
I'm not going to submit anything as PI this year, so if...
PI, co-PI, senior.
I'm just saying that. And unless someone else wants to write another proposal and involve me, this is probably going to be my only proposal.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just bring that up so that's my reading. So that be careful. No exceptions.
Yeah.
What is that? So as a medium project with a collaborative, I think of more than one PI, and we have to provide a what is called a collaboration plan.
Mm-hmm.
So allow three extra pages, more than 15 pages. So that will have, you know, we'll have ample room in terms of talking. I think one of the reviewers said that's not enough. I want to see more about the timeline, whose task is doing what, in terms, you know, I think they talk about that, it, you know, definitely can be addressed, and that has to be addressed.
So you're saying that we have 18 pages now?
Yeah. But, well... three more pages for that collaboration plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not mean that you can write one page for collaboration and 17 pages. So if you write collaboration plan very extensively or extenuously, that you have three more pages. That's what my reading is. That's so I might be wrong. I constantly misread things. So let me see.
Is that the real storage usage on that recording, that 5 megabytes?
No, that's not that. Well, it could be. It's a good quality.
Yeah.
I set in the actual medium quality. I could set it to lower. And
that's fine, I guess, because it's probably going to be a large file.
Yeah, so I'm toying with these things. I haven't actually got around to settle, you know, try out different options yet. But at least that got my job done. I mean, I need to meet with my students. I actually start recording them, so it's nice. Yeah. So I presume that we still get going after NETS rather. CSR. But I might, you know, you could have a different opinion. Nasty people are nasty.
Thing is, this to me is somewhere in between CSR and NET. So it could go to either place, but I think it's probably more relevant to NETs.
Mm-hmm.
Than the CSR.
Right, yeah, I agree with that.
And no one told us in the last round that we sent it to the wrong program. Right?
Yep.
So I think we are okay.
Okay.
Except that I saw that NETs got more proposals than CSR.
I didn't know that.
In the last round for the small proposals. I don't know what was the medium proposal.
Okay.
So I think small proposals, NETs got around 230. And CSR got 180.
Okay. Well, I guess we can just go there and say we are CSR. We're going CSR. Unless there are enough justification.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I agree that we are sort of straddling in between because there are a lot of virtual machine management resource allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the only relevant part is we are doing networking.
I think it's probably safer to go with NETs because at least in the last round people did not complain about relevance.
Right.
If you go to CSR and they say, well, they should be in NETs, then we lose another opportunity.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So this is what I highlighted for that three extra pages to see if I read that correctly. All medium proposals that include more than one investigator and all large proposals must include a collaboration plan. While the length of the project description for small proposals is limited to 15 pages, for medium and large proposals, up to 3 additional pages allowed for collaboration plans.
Mm-hmm.
And collaboration plans should be included at the end of the project description. Yeah, something like that. So my reading is, you can include 3 actual pages, but that's the education must be a collaboration. So we can save some pages for other purposes. Okay, and so there are few things that we probably need to discuss. One is sort of look at the feedback and see what are the places we need to improve, and also whether we'd like to include any new material in terms of, stress on HPC data center computing, those virtualization options, whether it's worthwhile to really go about that a little bit. Since it's a medium proposal, I was thinking that it has to have some consistency, but it's a little bit larger project.
My sense is that I agree that it's a medium. We should probably think about whether the scope of the project is large enough. The reviews gave me the impression that the reviewers were not convinced about the time dilation factor and how that's going to be managed.
That's a major thing, yeah.
And although we did much better than our first round, I think people were a little bit more convinced than the first submission.
So what do you think? Well, I'm not going to interrupt you. I will come back to this later.
Yeah, so I think they were still not completely convinced that our approach, that we managed to get a handle on all the challenges that needs to be addressed for getting consistent time dilation factor across all the simulation and emulation instances, right? And so I think that is the part that we should perhaps spend at least initially our effort on,
right?
To strengthen that.
Right. So one of the things, I guess the thinking about how we act, this is all about feasibility and sort of have some preliminary to show this is workable. Seems to be working.
Mm.
And I have two suggestions on whether it work perfectly or not. I'd like to hear from your thoughts. One is, we talk about this in a fairly abstract way. I mean, a lot of wording, for sure. I mean, in our proposal, it's just talk about how this time dilation, how allocation should be done. But it's all embedded in the text. So one of the things we could do is actually give a sort of show that by example of some sort. And by example, sort of showing the possible scenario, for example, suddenly the network demand increases, actually approaching the limitation of the physical limit, and we, you know, our, you know, global mechanism is gonna you know, recalculate the factor, and after recalculating the factor, you know, do remapping considerations. I mean, just sort of a walking through a sort of example to show what's going on. But that's not good enough, because that's just showing that this is what we're gonna do. On the other hand, I have to stress a little bit. So the second point is to stress a little bit about the feasibility and saying, well, I think at least it's, you know, one or two reviewers, or even more, who talk about the time dilation, they don't believe it, or they think this is old stuff. I believe one of the reviewers.
they have doubts about it. They don't think you can use that.
Right. So I have a particular study that I you know, the suite, Miguel and I worked on TCP. In particular, I think I put something there already, more than our last trial. But I think it's just not enough. It's just not striking home, I guess. I think that one of the things that really showing that, look, the time dilation we did at network performance, particularly addressed this issue about this RTT. I mean, that's everything. TCP is everything about RTT, you know, round-trip times. If you don't measure round-trip times well, your RTT is completely off, right? Your congestion window projection is going to be completely off. And we did a very thorough experiment and showing exactly the same behavior. And I think that's far more convincing in terms of the feasibility of using time dilation, at least for network emulation purposes, that can be done. However, there's no work whatsoever for dynamically, you know, that one we have to use example to show, you know, how this actually, we sort of use an example to tie up all the different parts. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think that I actually can improve this a little, at least, you know, from the convincing point of view.
I agree. I think an example can certainly serve multiple purposes. One, it can provide an illustration of the various mechanisms that we talk about in the proposal, so that the reviewer gets a much better idea of what we are proposing to do. And second, if we show an example and walk through all the steps, we might also address some of the feasibility concerns that they might have. If we show that all the steps are actually, you know, deterministic, and if you do this, you get this, and there is no magic.
Right.
I guess your previous work would be very important. I thought time dilation is already well accepted, but the peer study, the reviewers, they still have doubts about that, right?
No, I think they had, it's not that they had doubts about the basic concept of time dilation, I think they had doubts about how we were using it.
Both.
I think
both.
It happens to be that reviewer.
Doesn't believe that we can use time dilation to emulate future hardware. And there's some the other reviewers who people need to spend more efforts on the consistency, managing the consistency, time consistency,
right.
Time dilation.
Let's just quickly go through this one. All right, I can walk you through this one. Don't have that. So I would just go through the individual reviews and come back to the summary. So the first reviewer say, I would like, the first one hesitated regarding the work because the simulation is growing and not used as last word.
What does that mean?
It's a good thing or bad thing? So all the simulation proposals is going to be bad.
Yeah, that's the only comment that he has.
Yeah.
Like, simulation is bad.
Yeah, so well, that's exactly what we are addressing.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So what to address this, my suggestion is we
no,
actually
I think what he's saying is that simulation is as good as real these days. And if you do simulation, that's good enough.
No, he's my only hesitation regarding this work.
Is, growing.
Is that simulation
is that
the
use of
simulation is already considered good enough. So why you want to do all of this stuff?
Oh.
That's
wow,
why
that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the
other one. Yeah. Yeah. That's a comment just throwing somewhere. So what I was thinking is
this guy's
is
a simulation guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. Then that means that this guy is completely simulation guy is still not really sort of facing reality yet.
So
what happened here? So what we can do is actually mention this transitional aspect of our approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we on one hand we have simulation, on the other hand we have sort of a live experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So this work is sort of fitting right in between, because what happened is people came up with the simulation result that's a disassociated.
Mm-hmm.
Disassociated with the real implementation and the real traffic conditions and so on and so forth. And so that in that particular case, you have to have basically two parallel code base and two different kind of validation methods. So that's why it's making it difficult. So position our work in the middle and saying, well, you could do simulation and you can actually try unmodified systems to run. And on the other hand, that's not really deployment, so that we can actually test scale, test all the other, you know, what is the scenarios that it can come with. So
I thought that our motivation for why we want to do this
maybe
was fairly convincing.
Right, yeah.
But it's just, I think this guy is a simulation guy and
yeah.
He has a different opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
He did not directly say, okay, well, see.
Yeah, I think that all his comments are a little bit off mark. For example, the next one he will say, I like more about deliverables for the project and possible a specific timeline for work, including the tasks involved. Given the space that we allowed, I think we are pretty elaborate on that. At least I remember the way we wrote it. This is pretty much copied from the previous one. We have a timetable, who's working on what. I don't see that as a potential issue because we have three more pages for the collaboration plan. so we have ample room to address this and it shouldn't be much of a problem.
So I think one of his comments is consistent with the second review. He said, well, why do we need one network simulator? And this comes, this appears in both his reviews and next review's comments.
Right. So, yeah, so that I, as a matter of fact, I put something there. So what we can do, I guess this is actually related to the summary, says the weakness, a steep learning curve for a new simulation environment could impair adoption by the networking community, which is actually a very very truthful, honest comments, because people don't want to learn new things. And I think there are a few ways to address this problem. I was thinking that, first of all, we can acknowledge that there is ongoing effort on S3. I don't want to be over-criticized what they're doing right now at this point. But, you know, there is effort there and now our simulation. I think one way to say is we're not really addressing this from a network simulation point of view in the first place, right? We're not developing a network simulator. If somebody read that this is developing a new network simulator, that's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're developing a platform sort of allocation sort of that we have sort of have simulation and emulation to do that together. It doesn't matter whether it's prime or S3 in the first place.
And that then we should stress that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
We can integrate with NS.
Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous point if we want to say integration with NS3.
Because I think some of the, if I'm not mistaken, some of the items are related to improving the simulation infrastructure. Is that true or maybe not?
Did we say anything about the improvement? Oh, yeah. So, the network scripting.
Scripting and also the graph partitioning.
The graph partitioning thing. So I think we can stress from a usability point of view is actually making things far easier. The whole point is the user shouldn't be liable to all these speed learning curves. Right? They don't want to go through this. So the whole point is having a network scripting, having all this thing is actually doing that behind the scene. All the complexities that should be hidden. You know, we provide models, we provide automatic generators for things. So all you need to do is click a button. That's exactly what we're doing here, trying to do here.
You know, I was thinking, because I went to this panel, SDCI panel,
mm-hmm.
Means for something like Prime, that's perfect. Because software development and maintenance of software, cyber infrastructure that has a user community. And I was thinking about your Prime simulator. And I think that's perfect fit for that sort of a program.
For a data center?
No, cyber infrastructure.
Oh, cyber infrastructure, CRI.
Yeah, OCI. No, no,
OCI.
No, not CRI. OCI.
Office of Cyber Infrastructure.
Yeah, Office of Cyber Infrastructure. And they have software development for cyber infrastructure.
Program?
Yeah. And for doing all the development-related tasks in this proposal, we could say that we're going to pursue a, you know, OCI proposal also in parallel, which will allow us to support and maintain the software and provide services to other users in the community. Right, so we can say that.
Okay.
That addresses to some extent this adoption thing, right? How do we encourage users to use our software?
What specific program that you're talking about?
SDCI.
Oh,
software development for cyber infrastructure. That's the panel I went to, and I saw all kinds of proposals there.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were good. There were a couple of good ones, but I thought if your proposal or something like that would have been there, it would have a very good chance of getting funded.
Okay. Yeah,
so we could at least mention that in this proposal to say that we are going to pursue other venues to support that sort of activity.
Yeah, so we have to say something about the activity. We don't be confrontational with NS3. I guess there are some people actually strongly think NS3 is going to change the world.
But NS3 is also an emulator.
They do have very limited emulation capabilities. They don't do large scale. They, hopefully I'm not biased in the sense that.
It's distributed, right? I mean,
It's not even distributed. It's just
Is it parallel?
It's not parallel.
So it's a single threaded?
It's a single threaded. So it's everything reverted, at least that's what I...
How is N3 different from AS2?
It's in C++.
That's the only difference.
And it's sort of a lot of software refactoring.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a lot of, give justice to the development effort there. I think they really put together a lot of software engineering efforts in terms of making the simulator to hopefully address some of the problems that NS2 has, but none on the performance scalability concern.
Yeah.
I do think they have emulation extension, but there's probably none more than what already been there in NS2. I might be wrong, but that's as far as I know.
Yeah. We probably can include this discussion in proposal too.
Right. So what I was trying to say is, acknowledging N3, or the current efforts on the simulators, at least from the general. I mean, all my proposals got hit by some of these kind of effort. The comments.
Yeah.
And but point out the deficiencies. I think it's important to differentiate from the effort. And I think that's easy because we are not really developing software, even though we are trying to hide this, hide the effort, the user involvement. But that's for the purpose so that we can allocate stuff and do emulation, simulation, or automatically to some extent. None of them is actually sort of targeted a specific network simulator.
So in other words, what can we say? Well, we can just take any existing network simulator and.
I wouldn't say that. The reason for that is that there's still significant amount of work in terms of trying to have the interoperability, and the Prime does offer that, and maybe S3 has some effort in that domain. I just don't quite know they have extensive investment in that effort to do a time simulation at all.
Mm. I just feel we don't have to say that we are tied to Prime. We are open to support other network simulators. I'm just thinking if this can help us dodge this kind of criticism.
Well, the thing is that you still want, I think that's a strong point that we still tied up with Prime to some extent, saying because I think there are all the comments saying we have pretty good track record.
Right.
That's very important that we have our stuff that put together, and so that make this thing to work.
Yes.
On the other hand, we can sort of deflect some of the issues here.
You know what? One thing which I saw in the SDCI proposals can also be used in something like a CSR. We can talk about the user community a little bit and say that there are a whole bunch of people already using Prime. And
I don't know how many, but
I'm guessing that there are a few. Right?
Unfortunately.
If it's really small, then we shouldn't talk about it. But if it's a reasonable size, we can talk about it and say that people are already using it. It's not like no one is using it, and now suddenly a lot of people should start using it, right? And that might at least, calm down some of the reviewers who are saying there is this whole thing is a...
Is a new one, and why yet another?
Yeah.
Simulator.
Yeah, because people are using it, right?
Right. Yeah, right. People are using it.
I think it's important.
In selected places. That's the problem.
Are the kinds of things we can use those three pages for to say, okay, well, there is already an involvement from the community, and there are existing users. If we can get support letters from some of these users to say, okay, this is the right direction for us and we'll be willing to use the new things that you're coming up with, I think that can make this really strong case.
I can definitely get some letters.
If you can get letters from two or three different places, I think
that
would be really nice.
It has to be something a little bit more substantial in terms of networking community. I mean, I can get letters, for example, from Los Alamos that I've been using our simulator all the time.
You know, that would be a great letter. That would be a great letter to have.
But that's enough. I mean,
that's better than not having anything. But if we have, let's say, two or three letters, that's even more convincing to say, okay, there are very different kinds of communities interested in the simulator.
I can certainly get a letter from Los Alamos. I can get another letter from UIUC, from my advisor and their security group. They've been using some of the even though that's has association conflict of interest, but they're using it to some extent.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good idea.
I think that would be really good. And we can use those, then the three pages can help us a lot.
Okay. I'll use it. Okay. Anyway, so that's one of the, that's reviewer number one. Let me quickly go through this. Reviewer number two sort of addressed the same thing about the NS3 stuff.
Yes.
And so it's a stronger tie with the NS3 seems to be reasonable. Since also blend simulation with animation, I've never heard of any substantial work. But the blending, that I agree, we could say a little bit about blending, but it's a little bit bland. I was trying to talk about blending, and we could definitely do something there. And they say the proposal reads that the time dilation concept is new and was introduced by Zen community back in 2006. I think that's
advanced. What's that?
It's not fair. We try to differentiate a lot there. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we could do is what are things more that we are trying to improve that. The original paper, I think there are a diecast paper afterwards, and do not offer. And so there was one thing. One is the TCP platform that we did in the time dilation. Really look at whether time dilation works for the networking part or not. It works for the networking part. So at least that's one of the part that we have done. And the second thing is we need to really say this is not about just about the time dilation, right? We use time dilation, which one of the mechanisms. We use virtual machine. You know, can anybody say that virtual machine has been introduced since the 1970s? It shouldn't use virtual machine anymore.
we didn't say that time dilation is
it's our stuff, right? I sort of a little bit thrown off by that. I guess maybe some sentences there. Read that. We probably gave a false impression that we are reinventing time dilation, but I can't remember the way we claimed that that's our work.
I think what we can say is, sometimes even by using the right kind of words, people can be more calmed down and relaxed, right? Like if we say, okay, while the concept of time dilation is not new, we do not claim to introduce it. We are proposing extensions to the time dilation factor when we combine simulation and emulation and use it in a distributed system. Right, and how can we propose new mechanisms to coordinate time dilation factors across multiple instances.
Right. Yeah. So we have to be careful with wording and everything. I think that in the end we still didn't get enough time to really have gone through the more carefully. I remember in the end of last year, right?
Yeah.
So the next comments is the criteria we use design choices and evaluation is based on accuracy, scalability, and controllability. That's the three criteria we propose. At least the first two are conflicting, and the PIs did not resolve this conflict. So accuracy and scalability. So they say that you're proposing something and trying to address the issue of accuracy, more accurate, more scalable, but at least these two are conflicting. I think
that's right. We do not explicitly address this conflict in the proposal. We did not do that. But I think we actually address this conflict. We don't just talk about it explicitly.
Right.
Because
I agree. Yeah. So the following that is it's what I comment here is it's I think this is again is a writing issue.
Yeah.
It's a high. We have to provide some high level statement about how to try to resolve the issue. Even not they're conflicting for sure. Everybody can see.
Yeah.
You can't get all of them. Some there are no free lunch. And to some extent, we have to say something to the effect that we are trying to make more scalable approach. And try to be more more accurate,
right.
But this is a sort of we have to again this trade off and balance.
But I think one thing which we can say here, for instance, is that first of all we need to acknowledge that accuracy and scalability are in conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. We don't do that in the proposal explicitly, and then we can say, well, while accuracy and scalability are in conflict, they can actually this conflict can be resolved if we look at the problem in more detail. For instance, the network that we're trying to simulate, there are certain parts of the network that are more important than other parts of the network. There are key points of interest in the network where accuracy is much more important. And there are other large sections of the network which we are not particularly, the user may not particularly be interested in all the details where accuracy is less important.
Mm.
So we resolve this conflict by creating this ability to separate the points of interest from the rest of the network into these emulated instances.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that these points of interest can be much more accurate and faithfully.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. So I guess to some extent that when we are getting down to revising our proposal, we need to be more specific in addressing these issues in terms of wording and trying to be more comprehensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So so reviewer number three. I think of, it points to the weakness. I put a question mark. I guess I was not quite sure what that means. While the proposal seems technically strong and realistic, it introduces no high surprising and transformative new ideas. The solution must be direct and natural engineering answers to the problem arising from the goal of combining simulation and emulation.
So this reviewer somehow did not see, you know, any
right.
any new transformative novelty. Ideas, no. any yeah, any great novelty. And I think that if we spend more time talking about things like, you know, how the time dilation factor is being managed, and how time dilation factors are maintained to be consistent across the distributed system, I think those can be potential venues for creating new ideas.
Right.
Or maybe somehow spell those out, either reorganize the various subsections to put up the more novel and transformative ideas in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if
yeah.
it's all hidden inside
yeah.
a large volume of text, it's also
yes,
hard
yes,
to
yeah.
extract those novel ideas.
I guess the proposal may looks may reach too many details, too many technical details. But maybe at the beginning you should make it more exciting. Because the state of the art is that there's no such system in that can simulate the whole internet using a small amount of resources.
Right.
I remember the first time when Roger told me his idea, well, that was during our interview. And when he told me the first time, I was very impressed. I thought, wow, that was a great idea. I guess that's kind of an impression I gave the reviewers. Maybe that's something we need to improve in the introduction. To try to, you know,
it's so in terms of the ideas, are you talking about the usability part? I mean, in terms of using the systems, that as a it's an idea that actually can break the ground so that people can somehow the highly accurate whatever they said in the beginning.
I think the system itself is transformative, right? Right now, what we have a planning lab, which is a nice scale distributed system, but you don't really have the control of it entirely. Or you have a simulator that runs only on your desktop, right, which you cannot really simulate many things. So what we are providing is we use a small amount of resources, you know, like the small cluster, and with that, by using a combination, you know, simulation and emulation, we can do very accurate simulation and emulation of a large scale system. I think that does not exist today, right? That is itself is a very new thing. Even though the techniques that we use to build the system may be already existing, but the system doesn't exist.
I think one way to address this transformational thing is something which I did for the CSR proposal that I sent out, was to sort of list all the core principles in the beginning and separate those out and say, okay, well, here are the core principles that are new directions, right? For instance, to say, well, how do we balance the accuracy and scalability concerns, right? And to do that, we do this, right? And then we say, okay, even for scalability, how do we what is the principle that we use so that we can have good resource management? So one of the things that we do is to map resources to subsets of the network, those kinds of things. And then we say, okay, well, how do we enable futuristic infrastructure, right, by using time dilation factor? And then we can talk about, well, another principle, which is, well, time dilation factors are consistent, and then we use dynamic resource management to make sure that the resources are continued to. So if we sort of crystallize all these sets of principles, new principles on which our proposal is based on, then they might see the novelty in the beginning, and then we say, okay, the next section is when we are going to address, well, how do we realize all of these principles, and here are the set of challenges that we need to address and our approach to address those challenges. So we
that's good.
Sort of
yeah, that's good. Yeah. So That's the same as what Min said, more specifically, sort of highlighting all the important
principles
and,
that we use.
Right,
right.
Yeah, that's true. So we do in the end a sort of have a lot of things embedded there.
Yeah.
Sort of a.
We have this overview section, right? We have this overview section where we say, okay, we are some things are being proposed, and we have a few bullets there: simulation, emulation, core design, time dilation, and optimizing resource utilization, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, simulation, emulation, core design is something that people may have done before, right? Is that true or no?
Simulation, core design?
Simulation and emulation, core design. Is that something that people have done before? And then there is time dilation, which people have done before for sure. So if we list a bullet, time dilation in our in the first proposed research, if I just look at that bullet, it's not new, right?
Right.
And then optimizing resource utilization, people have done that before. That's not new, right? So the principles that we list here have to be specific to our work and read in such a way that people cannot say this has been done before. Right? And then maybe they will be more convinced that this is there is some new novel ideas in here.
Right.
But if I read these out of these three bullets, maybe the simulation, emulation, core design is new, but the other two, time dilation and optimizing resource utilization.
I'm not sure that core design idea is new. So we what we have in the simulation code, I can't find that.
No, I mean, my point is that there are three bullets in here, right? In the section three, where we talk about our approach. Of these two bullets, seem like things that already exist,
right?
Time dilation and optimizing resource utilization, right? So I think
we have to
although this is we have to sort of give it a spin,
right,
so that people don't just look at the bullet and say, well, there is nothing new, right? Without reading through all the text.
Right.
So we have to present it in a slightly different way.
That's actually what I would review a proposal, even though I, you know, read into the specific text. But in the end, what captures my attention would be all those different bullet points, right? That's exactly what I'm highlighting, and then sort of summarize my idea about how this proposal looked like.
Yeah.
And I just think it's very important to...
Yeah, and I think, I mean, based on my experience with reading proposals, I wish I had all the time to read all the details everywhere. But in the end, you know, I only read things that attract me,
right?
And if I see something that I think I know already, although in the actual description there is a lot of novelty, I sort of skip that because I don't have enough time to read it,
right?
And so we cannot give the reviewers that opportunity to skip what we are talking about.
Right, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I think that, you know, we need to reorient or approach the novelty ideas, right?
But I think it can be done. I think,
yeah.
I mean, if we have, let's say, three or four or five different core principles that are new for this work, we can highlight those in the beginning and say, okay, here are the new principles. And the reason why we are going to be able to solve this very hard problem is because we're going to follow these new principles. And we describe those principles, and then in the next section, we address all the challenges to realizing those new principles.
I guess we have to restructure. I mean, if we say there are 3 to 5 new principles there, I guess it's more than just principles. These are highlight contributions or whatever we see as a novelty involved in this. I guess we can reorganize so the proposal is just to address these issues. Of course, we can bring time dilation. Without time dilation, we don't really have resource. But we can't even stress too much about time dilation. And we can say that using time dilation works. Look at our previous work, we actually have done some time dilation in networking setting. And we merge that with the resource allocation, right? So that's, I think that's to some extent is new. You know, this two level approach, and I guess in this setting, I'm not saying in general principle, I mean everything in general principle is two level approach. But I guess that's how we actually can address the specific problems, avoiding you know, the misconception that you know, if we highlight time dilation, that people question whether time dilation is ourself, right? The set where they talk about time dilation as if they own the stuff, they create the stuff. So that's the misconception that we're giving them.
Yeah.
I guess reorganizing this and having that time dilation embedded in the text somewhere, that's where we build our, you know, these are the basic technologies that we assemble, we put together, and reorient for our purpose, so that probably makes more sense. Yeah, so since I came here, this is how much I wrote.
Excluding a few ones. That's a lot of writing.
how much of a failure rate, that's what it is. Anyway.
So this one I think you're going to get it next time. Very positive, based on these new reviews.
Okay, so I think there are a few things. There are just, you know, whether we're going to add new material or not. So, for example, I see a few things. When we submitted this proposal, I was not awarded with the Genie one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it correctly. Now we have Genie. I think that someone said that last. You know, he doesn't know anything about Genie efforts. I think we can actually make a cross-link with that effort. Basically, that means that you do have a platform. I can just load up my OS image and be able to provide it as a simulation animation environment as well as Genie, the particular project that you want Genie with. And that has nothing to do with time dilation, but this is actually can be sort of in coordination with that effort. The other thing I was thinking is, as I said, the HPC and data center computing aspect.
I don't know which comment you're referring about the Genie.
The reviewer number three.
Yeah, but he's talking about other Genie efforts. He's not talking about your Genie efforts.
Right. Yeah. So no, what I'm trying to say is, I think the I'm trying to read under you know, beneath the text. So he said, well, there are a lot of effort in you know, in PlanetLab, AmiLab, Genie approach. You know, there are a lot of test beds there. I'm not qualified to judge the novelty of this specific idea in comparison with the other ideas. But it seems to be they are all coming from the same location. They're trying to virtualize, they're trying to do something in that regard.
I would just read this and say that this reviewer doesn't know much about this area, and that's why he's making this statement that I cannot judge the novelty. So, well, one thing which we could do to address some of this is, well, we could talk about some of this in our related work.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we already do, right? I mean, don't we talk about PlanetLab and MELab and all of those?
I think we can actually be more specific as the related work in the Genie project I'm involved with, and be more specific. I mean, I can't say that's a preliminary work because that's a sort of in parallel work with this. But at least that part has relation to all these approaches of virtualization idea.
Is your Genie thing considered prior NSF support?
It's a NSF support. Well, NSF support trickled down from a bigger project, and then the NSF project trickled down to specific projects.
Right.
Yeah. So Yeah, so that's one of the things. I mean, we can. I think I agree that I don't want to get too much in that, because after all, that's different. I mean, we talked about that there's a danger that, you know, there's too much overlap there. Even though I don't see that overlap, because what we do here is resource allocation and do all the other things, the time dilation, which is not involved there. The other thing is about whether we want to extend this to say something about HPC and data center computing, so on those platforms. Because eventually what we are trying to propose here is saying, look, if we are to change the operating system of these cluster computing environments, we could actually conduct a large-scale simulation animation experiments and computation, whatever. That has to apply to the existing platform. We're not really asking for any cluster running, you know, build a cluster or anything. It has to expand to existing platform. But that, there is a conflicting idea, because what we said about Venice, I think we still use that name, right? Somewhere. If we talk about Venice, that means commodity environment. I think that's where that key is. And talking about HPC and talking about data center is deviating from the commodity environment.
Yeah.
And however, what I'm afraid of is when reviewers say, you know, you should start to talk about some data center issues because that's a hot button, right? It's something that everybody seems to be, you know, your techniques is actually can be applied to there. You didn't address that issue, that's a deficiency of some sort.
What kind of issues?
The thing is that this sort of project requires dedicated infrastructure, understanding it correctly, because we are talking about things like, okay, looking at network link bandwidths and saying if we have a 10 megabit per second, how do we make it look like a 10 gigabit per second?
Mm-hmm.
And if we have competing traffic on that link, there's no way we can guarantee anything.
No, well, one of the things why I mentioned the Genie project is just like this. It's, for example, the Emulab at Utah. And what they have done is you have a cluster environment. You can load your OS image, and you can reprogram the switches so that you can have a dedicated portion of the resources of that cluster environment. I mean, their cluster is substantially larger than
the that's still a commodity environment, right?
That's commodity environment. But
if we're talking about data center and something like cloud computing,
I see what you mean.
We have
competition
introduced by other
workloads. Depends, right? It depends on your allocation mechanism, whether you can guarantee some network performance or not, right?
But
so
today that technology doesn't exist where you can guarantee network performance. Amazon doesn't guarantee network performance from what I understand. So that's why I'm saying that for a project like this, it's going to be that match doesn't seem to be there for a cloud-like environment for ideas that are being presented here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, for a supercomputer, maybe if you have dedicated resources, then maybe this could apply.
Mm-hmm. What I meant here is, obviously, we're not doing extra research in that domain. We're not saying here proposal, let's carve out one fourth of the proposal and try and address issues about data center computing and HPC environments so that we can do better allocation or whatever. So we, you know, we're not doing that at all. So I guess the matter here is to what extent we can address the issue just to satisfy the I don't know, curiosity or whatever that, you know, some urge, you know, pushing into that direction. So maybe we should say, you know, look, we're not looking at those issues. It's not really within the scope of our proposal.
Instead of saying that we're not looking at those environments, we can say that there are researchers who have significant cluster class resources available. And those people can utilize something like Spence, right? And these, you know, specify the target audience for this work.
Right.
The researchers who do not have the large-scale infrastructure, but they did still want to conduct large-scale experiments. Here is a way that they can use modest amount of resources but still scale up.
That's a good
the
point.
Size of the experiments.
Yeah.
If we bring up the data center issue, then some people may say, well, you know, they might be reminded of that and they might start questioning certain things.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's better not to be defensive on that. I think it's better just to say, okay, this is our goal and this is our target, which is commodity cluster resources. And there are clusters everywhere in all universities, right? But the thing is that these are not the really large scale clusters.
Right. Ignore that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think if we do that, that should be good enough. Because I don't really see a good match with a cloud like infrastructure for this kind of work. Because we want reproducibility, one of the main things, right? I mean, can we control it? Can we do control experiments and cloud?
Yeah, we can even say reproducibility here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's basically set the program to run. I mean, their target experience totally depend on, you know, whether that instruction is actually got, you know, executed that cycle, and depends on all sorts of things that we, you know, outside of our control.
Yeah.
So we can't really reproduce.
Yeah, maybe not reproduce everything instruction by instruction, but approximately. So if I see that my bandwidth is between my client and server over a wide area network,
right,
that I'm simulating is so and so, then the next time I run it, it's going to be again in the same ballpark.
Right.
But if you do it on a cloud, that's going to be hard to get.
Sure. Well, as a matter of fact, if we do have a controller to some extent, and be able to reprovision the resources or reprogram the time dilation factors and so on and so forth, and that actually makes this doable on the cloud computing environment, right?
I think maybe true, but I don't think we are having a hard time convincing people that this something like
this
can
right.
be done on dedicated infrastructure.
Right. Right, yeah.
So
I'm not saying that we ought to go there. I mean that's just the
But you may be
yeah.
right. I mean, in the long run, if we get it right on a dedicated infrastructure because of the dynamic time dilation factors, we may be able to run something like this on a cloud. But I think
it's
that
a
right now,
premature
maybe,
to say that.
And we might be shooting ourselves in the foot if we do that
right.
at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that means that we better not to say that.
Yeah.
Unless you want to serious research in cloud computing.
Right, yeah.
It does not exist today. Also you,
okay, so that's a good point. Okay. Okay, all right. So, any other things that you see?
I think this time we can budget some equipment, right?
Do we really need equipment?
We need a cluster. I mean, if we don't budget, then we have to get it somewhere else, right? If this is funded, and we don't budget equipment,
right,
then we need equipment somewhere else.
How much is a cluster?
50K. 50K can buy a good cluster. 50, 60K.
How many cores did we get?
My cores? It is the 50K? The thing about the equipment we just bought.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We spent, how much we spent? We spent 40K, right?
Yeah.
40K, we got 12 times, we have 12 nodes, right? 12
yeah.
times 12, 144. It's half as 40K. 12 times 12.
You have 12 cores?
12 cores. It's 2-6 cores, yeah. 2-6 cores.
Yeah, 144 cores.
144 cores.
Around, and that was around 40K.
40K.
Yeah.
Do you think we need it? Yeah, you should. Why not?
Just in case it's get funded at all.
Yeah, at least they don't say that we're short of equipment.
Yeah,
I think we can allow that. Yeah, sure. Do we really need 4 students, or do we need a course on?
Completely up to you.
It's up to you, yeah. A postdoc equals 2 graduate students, right?
Probably more.
More?
Because of the fringe at 30%.
How much for a student? Do you have that on top of your head?
Student is about...
7 is 20K.
20K plus...
7.
Tuition is another 20K.
20K?
Yeah, because... Oh, no,
so less than that. It's 12K. Okay. Totally would be 30K something.
Yeah, so it's 9 plus 9 plus 6 credits. That's 24 credits times $350 a credit.
You pull out the budget sheet here, you'll see.
8,000. 8,000.
Yeah, that's the sort of something I would...
$9,000.
Yeah, so let's say 10K.
30K.
30K is student. For postdoc, it would be 50K plus fringe. Plus overhead.
Yeah.
Well, overhead, everybody has
overhead.
Yeah.
But
tuition
doesn't have overhead.
Tuition doesn't have overhead.
No,
that's true.
Gosh. That's expensive. Yeah.
Postdoc
is...
Yeah,
I mean, postdoc, and I have to justify for a postdoc. It's up to you. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's student or postdoc.
I was thinking that we have money, we can even actually fill our positions with the students. But formal positions would be nice.
What do you mean?
I mean that's, you know, I'm just trying to get good students. That's what I mean. So you can get any students you want, right? There are ample number of students, but getting good students. I mean, I decided not to get all those mediocre students anymore. I waste too much time. And so really filling those students with, you know, one slot for one student is not an easy task for us. And I was thinking this, that, you know, if we were funded, say for more students, we probably would.
I think we can get 4 students easily. I mean, we need time, we need a year to get those students here. Because they need to, first of all, it takes about a couple of 2 to 3 months to find identify the student, and then another 3, 4, 5 months so that they can give GRE and TOEFL exam and all that.
Yeah.
And then another 3 or 4 months to do the admission. So the end-to-end latency is about a year.
Okay, so you think that students are actually going to be... Oh, just thinking that,
I think,
you know,
students are willing to come, good ones are willing to come, but... It will be a year before they get here.
Right. Okay. And the students, and the postdoc is just too much trouble. In terms of, we have to write how to sort of coach postdoc. I don't have that paragraph ready, and then just have to write it.
Write what? Oh, the,
yeah, the
mentoring,
mentoring plan. Mentoring plan, or something like that. I don't want to get into that. Unless the only reason I think postdoc is worthwhile is because when you get a postdoc, supposedly good postdoc, you know, at least, you know, above average, right? It's more helpful than a starting grad student. It takes them, you know, I don't know how many students I can push. I mean, I have a hard time pushing my students at this point. And really, you know, there's a really long haul. Somewhere out there and taking time to get them ready.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a while before they get start producing.
Yeah. But that's just the way it is, I guess. Yeah. Okay, all right. So that's, yeah. So we have 21st, and we have, this is June, July, August, September, a few months. And, I think we can do, I mean, what I can do is put together a outline, I mean, in terms of how to reassemble the stuff. I mean, we probably need to have a substantial rewriting, well, at least juggling different places and you know, sort of stressing different things. Putting principles in the beginning, for example, and those sort of things. Not a whole lot of new material, but we need to work on, for example, the sample.
Yeah, I think what my suggestion would be that we have a couple of meetings at least so we can you know, iron out some of the details for the you know, time dilation factor issues that are less concrete in the current version of the proposal.
That's true. Yeah, that's
and we can spend some time brainstorming how we're going to present it in the new version. I think that would be useful.
Right. Okay. So you think it's just we could just toss through the ideas a little more.
Yeah.
And sure. Yeah, okay, do that.
Do we need more preliminary work, preliminary results?
We don't have any preliminary results. I mean, other than we you know, the time dilation thing requires a lot of. I mean, the system either works or doesn't work. I mean, that's my view of it. Just to get the time dilation set up to run, that took maybe one semester, more than one semester, to get that there.
But does he have any results?
Well, we have the results for the time dilation. We have the paper. We have a paper and the journal extension on that. I got enough materials for cover that part.
So maybe we can highlight some of those results.
Definitely.
In the preliminary.
But in terms of tossing, you know, sort of discussing the ideas, I think what we can do, make a suggestion here, maybe we just work on the example. Let's just work on the example. Write it out or, you know, bulletize it. And just write it, you know, this happens, you know, consider a scenario. So once we walk through the example, I think we can sort of basically cross all the T's and dot all the I's and in terms of the, you know, have a good idea about what other sort of things we're missing. And to some extent highlight the things that we, you know, our contribution, that if we can just, you know, get that example to work. So we have, you know, we consider the experiment. Someone come up with an idea. This is how things. This is my experiment, right? My experiment consists of a network, a bunch of emulated hosts, and I want to generate, you know, map that down to your virtual environment.
We probably need a scenario, an actual use case, and walk through that because then we can do things like identify points of interest. And show, okay, well, these get mapped to emulated nodes and the rest gets mapped to simulation. And then we can have an example of what is a reasonable division of the network, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, you know, I can come up with a network experiment scenario to start with. You know, thinking about some kind of a peer-to-peer or CDN, that will be most likely can be emulated because the CDN means that, you know, the content distribution,
mm-hmm.
So you basically need to put network proxies
mm-hmm.
across the network, and those are fairly sophisticated logic in terms of how those proxies actually work, and those are the things that actually can be emulated, and that also requires a large network environment, and now I can provide a network model, I can provide a network, you know, this is what we can do, and we start from there. I'm saying the first thing is the, I think, the global resource mapping mechanism. I think we have some ideas laid out there, not completely sort of everything sort of ironed out at this point. And once that's being mapped down, it is sent to instantiate on different scaling units, and when they are brought up, and with all the virtual machines that start running, and have the simulator instances running as well. And then, you know, we well, the effect of that is we calculate the time dilation factor, giving the available resources the app may know about that machine platform. You know, maybe have an estimation about the traffic going to be. And so everybody start with time dilation factor and start to run. And of course, the initial initial allocation might not be sufficient in terms of there could be hotspots, and there could be research, the resource underutilization somewhere. So it triggers the global environment to a global control mechanism to recalculate and remap, taking into consideration of the migration factors, the cost of migration and stuff like that. And I mean, I guess we we just need to sort of
walk through the example.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, the level of detail for the example can be a little bit higher, coarse grain. But maybe we can do that after couple of rounds. Once we have all the details in place, then we can figure out how to present it. Because if it's too detailed, we don't probably have space for a too detailed.
I think that example works for two purposes. One, eventually we need to present an example which is intuitive and highlighting all the research contributions we're going to have. So that people just look at that and say, we're going to work, you know, write our paragraphs surrounding the example and saying these are the specific contributions or points that we need to make our contribution. And secondly, we have to work on that so that we know what are the places we need to give it a little more thought.
Yeah.
Right. So.
So yeah, that sounds like a good plan. We can start with the example, and that can lead us to, you know, a little bit more insight into the time dilation factor and what are the challenges there.
Right.
And some more new ideas.
Right.
Okay.
So, all right. So.
Yeah. When do you want to meet next?
I have one thing I have to finish.
So deadline is September 15th, right?
Right, yeah.
So in total, it can be set a deadline earlier than that. I will probably be extremely busy at the beginning of September.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Once
school starts, then it's going to be, you know,
yeah,
the first couple of weeks are going to be very hectic.
Yeah, so we definitely should finish something before then. And I have one due on July 6th, another on the look at my beginning of August. How about for end of July, is that too far a stretch to meet, or is it
to meet again?
Yeah, we should just keep going.
I think we should meet at least once a week.
Okay.
Even if I think, for instance, I have more time right now.
Okay.
And probably have lesser time towards August and September, and because there are a couple of deadlines coming at that time.
Okay.
So, for instance, if we do some of the writing done right now, I mean, I could perhaps help with the, you know, the writing of the principles and things like that.
So
we two have the same situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
So I think I would suggest that we meet at least every Monday.
Right. Unfortunately, next Monday I'll be out of town. I need to be interested for a workshop. What time do you usually come to school? What days? Yeah.
I don't have any. Monday I'm certainly here. But the rest of the week I may come another day. But that really depends on requirement.
Right.
So if you want to meet sometime during the week, I can.
I'll be back. Wednesday. The Wednesday I have, that's my meeting day. That's I have all the meetings on Wednesday. Yeah, we can meet on Wednesday if possible.
Wednesday?
Or Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
After 3, so that's 3. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. So that's next Wednesday, right?
Yeah. So, and then we can meet regularly on Mondays.
Okay. Sounds good.
So what should we do by Wednesday?
I think if we can come up with that scenario,
yeah,
which can give us a starting point for the example discussion, and what I might do if I have time over the weekend is to write down the principles.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So what I could do is, I guess before the weekend or something, I give the scenario, I'll provide my understanding about the outer mechanism, how it works, so just like what I said, the global mechanism is engaged at a certain point in time, I just work through the steps, and I think Ming later on can refine it, and then I think after that, we can start to look at the challenges and problems that we need to solve, which is not completely all clear at this point. But at least, you know, from the understanding point of view, you can set the stage.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds good. We need to get a copy. Do you need a copy?
Yeah. If you can come back in 10
minutes. Yeah, I lost voice. I think I need to get a copy.
The coffee, the...
Yeah.
The
coffee have
or?
A multiple...
Jason, I guess you also need to set up the SVN.
The SVN, all right. Yeah, I'll do that.